Hello and welcome to the Diggin' Oak Island Podcast, a podcaster's journey to discover the truth behind the Oak Island mystery. And I'll admit right off the top, that is a very ambitious and very positive sounding description. I'm Dave McBride, and I thank you for downloading and listening. What we're going to do in this first show, sort of an introduction show, is just sort of introduce myself to you, the listener, so you have an idea of why I'm here and what we plan on doing as we move forward throughout the life of this podcast. I would say the mission statement for what we're doing, or what I hope to accomplish here, is to fill in the gaps left by the Curse of Oak Island show, the television show, the famous television show that everybody has probably seen. I can't imagine you haven't if you're listening to this. And hopefully we can offer some information needed that the listeners might need in order to formulate their own opinions and theories about what happened on Oak Island, but also what's happening on the show and what may be there. The show does a lot to discuss the background of information, around the mystery, but television just isn't a great medium for going in depth into the kind of topics that are raised during a discussion of the history and theories and all that surrounds Oak Island over the centuries. In the last season alone, this Curse of Oak Island talked about topics covering more than a millennium worth of world history, not to mention the over 200 years of the treasure hunt itself. And even for somebody like me who's read a lot about Oak Island and is interested in these topics and has watched every episode since its debut, all this information can get overwhelming. I hope to clear the fog a little bit on as much of that as we possibly can. Let me start by telling you first why I'm doing this. I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any means. When it comes to things like cryptozoology, UFOs, paranormal, I would definitely consider myself a try and true skeptic. But like many others, I'm fascinated by many of these kinds of subjects, and I've always been fascinated by them. For as long as I can remember, my family spent summers along the Gulf of Maine. This is when I was a kid, and I wish I could remember the name of the book I'm about to talk to you about, but I can't. I could certainly recall going into a local bookshop in Maine we're going back 40 years or so now, and I picked up a little book that was called something to the effect of Mysteries of the Atlantic Coast or something along those lines, and in there was a short article, among other articles, about ghosts and lighthouses and all these kind of, this is what kind of book it was. There was a short article about Oak Island and the treasure hunt that has become so famous. When I showed this book to my father, I remember him telling me about the Reader's Digest article, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, that he read when he was a teenager, sort of on the same topic. You got to remember, folks, this was the dark ages before the internet, and even before many of the cable channels that we now associate with this sort of content. The best I can learn was that the hunt was still active, but that was from books that, a 10-year-old didn't really know how up-to-date they might have been. I'm not going to tell you this was a lifelong obsession. I'm not another Rick Lagina here. It's certainly something I've always been aware of. And for me, the Oak Island treasure hunt is in a category of these mysteries that are, if I would categorize as, I have no earthly clue what the hell is going on there kind of category. Let me clarify that a bit. I think we all have read these kind of books that I'm referring to. We've all watched these sort of shows that talk about the paranormal or the unexplained or all this kind of stuff. And as fascinating as they can be, a lot of times if you think through it and you read and you watch, you can kind of poke your own holes into a lot of these things. I would put Oak Island into the category of, I have tried to poke holes in this, but I literally have no idea how to do that. I cannot manage to get any holes poked into this story. So here is what I hope to deliver to you, the listeners. And I say hope because you never know what life or, geez, what Oak Island might send our way. Let me say this. Everyone who knows the slightest bit about Oak Island has their own theory. And we have all heard tons of these theories on the show, in books. There's just tons of them out there. They range from the crackpot to the fascinating, to some that are even kind of plausible. Most of the time, it can be hard to sift through these theories, since much of the information needed to really formulate an opinion is often left out of the conversation entirely, right? I hope we can fix that so we can all be able to either kind of call BS on a theory or come to some conclusion that it just might be worth considering and researching. Also, I aim to kind of come up with a theory of my own. I'm not sure if I'm going to get there. Maybe it'll be more than one theory, but something to me that makes sense. Some way to answer that question, what do you think happened on Oak Island, which you always get somebody asking you if you say you're interested in the subject. I want to be able to answer that with some kind of authority. In order to do that, I think we need to kind of go on a journey of discovery together to learn more about Oak Island, the hunt itself, the people who may have done this, reasons they might have had for such an incredible amount of work in order to keep a secret. Frankly, they've kept over 200 years despite money, blood, and lives sacrificed to get to the bottom of this secret. And I guess what I want to say is I invite you to come with me on this journey, and maybe we can gain some clarity on this incredibly confounding mystery. So here is the plan moving forward. Again, this is my best guess at this stage, but I think due to the research necessary for a good show on such a vast subject, we're going to do this kind of on a season-based schedule, meaning I'll release a bunch of shows on a regular basis for a few weeks and then have a break in between as I research and record the next season worth of shows. We will also have a few shows posted in the coming weeks on a variety of subjects and then likely take a short break before we kind of set our attention fully towards the Curse of Oak Island television show. During the time the show is airing, I'm going to do my absolute best to try and present and record and release a recap of each and every episode so we can kind of discuss what I thought about it, get a little more in-depth into the few of these things, maybe clarify some stuff and comment on what we think this all means. Okay. For the purposes of an introduction show, I think it's important to kind of touch a little bit on the Curse of Oak Island television show. And let me say this right off the bat. I absolutely love this show. And it's going to be a big part of this podcast, if not all the time. We will circle back to it on many, many episodes. So I guess what I'm trying to say is if you're looking for a podcast that spends all of its time criticizing and nitpicking the show, this is not the show for you. Listen, I'm going to be critical. And we will certainly point out issues should they arise. But that's not going to be the focus of what I'm doing. I understand. The narrator bugs me sometimes, too. And the way they hold things off to the end of the season and, to obviously keep us, watching. I get the annoyance with all that. But that's just not going to be, I'll mention that in passing. But that's just not going to be what this is all about. This is not a critique of the way the show is produced. And it would also be an incredibly dull podcast if all I did was talk about what these little issues with the editing or the narration in every episode of the show. And as viewers and people who are really invested in the content of the show, we kind of need to be a little more understanding of the fact that there are other viewers of the show who don't read all the books, who don't know all these things, and aren't just interested so much in the content. They're interested in some of the personal things, which I'm interested in too. And we're going to talk about those things, maybe not as much as some of the history and backstory, but we're going to mention all that. Let me also say that through my reading and my research, and I've never spoken with anybody involved with the show. I have no relationship with the Curse of Oak Island television show in any way. This is not a authorized show. I have given no assistance and I plan on never having any from from them. They're a little bit bigger for this little podcast. But having read and having watched and having listened to people who've met and who have been there and have taken a tangential part in the show, maybe I honestly believe that Rick and Marta Lagina and their partners have integrity. The show, to me, certainly seems to be a side project for them, a way to sort of help with their primary goal, which is to find the treasure of Oak Island, or at least to find the truth behind what happened on Oak Island. Like I said, I don't know them personally, but it certainly seems to me that if the network tried to fake something, that would be the last time we'd see Rick and Morty Lagina on a History Channel television show. It just doesn't, they don't, I understand the non-reality of reality television, but I think once you get past a lot of that stuff, you can't help but notice the integrity these guys have and the drive they have to get to the bottom of what this hunt is all about. So I want to say that right off the top here, just in regards to, as we do go through some of the, especially some of the old shows, if we go back and rewatch a few of them, you know, I want you to keep in mind that I do respect these guys' integrity. I do honestly feel that their number one goal is to finish this project with an answer. And I think that lends something to the program that a lot of other reality shows can often miss. So once again, that's kind of the plan moving forward. We're going to have a series of shows. You're going to have a few coming out in the next few weeks. We're going to lead up to the release of the next season of The Curse of Oak Island, which, if it goes to form, is usually sometime in the mid-fall, November sometime. So we'll have a few shows here. Then we might take a short break if time permits. And then we will go through, we'll have an episode a week. Hopefully, you know, life comes in, holidays come into play and all that kind of stuff. So we'll try to go through each and every show and kind of dig a little deeper into them. And then we'll take another break, and then we'll come back with more like this first season where we are researching specific subjects that are brought up during not only the Curse of Oak Island show, but the history of the treasure hunt and all of the theories that might be, that have been formulated over the years regarding Oak Island. It is hard to understate, if you will, the range of subjects that this hunt can cover. So it seems to me we have a lot of ground. And if we're going to give credence to each and every theory, or at least to many theories, we're going to be talking from, you know, we're going to be discussing the history of oceanic travel from the Romans until the pirates of the 18th century. And that is a lot of ground to cover. And I also don't want to just focus on the theories. I want to focus on, one of the things that the show kind of has to gloss over, because it's just impossible to give it a lot of time, is the incredible sacrifice and of time and effort that has been poured into the money pit and the surrounding areas on this island. There are a lot of people who have tried. There are a lot of things that have been discovered. And sometimes it's hard to keep straight from just watching the show when this all happened, who did what, how did this all happen, and what does it mean to where we are now in the hunt? And I think that that's just as important a subject to cover for a podcast like this as would be any theory or any possibility. So that's what we're hoping to do. Before we go for this first introductory episode, I thought one of the cool things we could do in this first show is talk about that famous Reader's Digest article, that one thing. You know, I already told you how I came to Oak Island and how my father came to know of Oak Island. Well, there is this one Reader's Digest article that is also the launching point for many an obsession with the Oak Island mystery. So let us talk about what is perhaps the most famous piece of literature produced about Oak Island, and certainly the most important for the last half century of the search itself. We're talking about that famous Reader's Digest article you've probably heard about dozens of times. It is the one that both Rick Lagina and Dan Blankenship credit as the spark and inspiration for their interest in this mystery. A little background, it was published in 1965, January of 1965, and that was the period when Robert Restall was leading the hunt on the island. Later that same year, Restall died along with his son and two other men in the summer of that year during their search. The article itself was written for a magazine called The Rotarian, which I believe is the magazine for the Rotary Club, if I'm not mistaken. But it was the condensed version that was reprinted in Reader's Digest that rekindled the interest in the Oak Island mystery, really across the U.S. and Canada in the 1960s. I have tried to find the uncondensed version of said article, but I have been unsuccessful so far in doing so. The author was a man named David MacDonald. He was a Canadian from Nova Scotia. We can only assume that he heard about this island and its legend and lore for years before writing this article, and that's probably what brought him there. I thought one of the cool things we could do is read you the first paragraph of the article so you get an idea of how it was written and kind of what angle it was taken. The article itself is entitled Oak Island's Mysterious Money Pit, and it reads as a caption, "There is something down there, but for 170 years, no one has been able to solve the riddle of how to get at it." So here's the first paragraph. "Just off the rugged southern shore of Nova Scotia lies a tiny island shaped somewhat like a question mark. The shape is appropriate, for Little Oak Island is the scene of a baffling whodunit that has defied solution for almost two centuries. Here, ever since 1795, not long after pirates prowled the Atlantic coast and left glittering leggings of buried gold in their wake, people have been trying to find out what lies at the bottom of a mysterious shaft dubbed, hopefully, the Money Pit." And the article kind of goes on to essentially give a somewhat brief retelling of the Oak Island hunt. From the discovery of the Money Pit itself, right up until the 1960s, the time of writing. Which, as I mentioned, was just before the Restall tragedy. So he does not have that, you know, most deadly of days on Oak Island as part of his telling. MacDonald mentions a few theories within the article. He's pointing to Captain Kidd and other pirates as the most likely culprits. We have to kind of remember that, and we'll get into all this as the shows go by, but we have to kind of remember that up until you know, somewhat recently, pirate treasure is what people thought we were looking for here. But by this point in the 1960s, we have gone beyond that. He had also mentioned a lot of other possibilities, including Shakespeare's manuscripts. So that's kind of interesting that he had gotten to that point. There is no mention of things that you may be more used to from watching The Curse of Oak Island, namely the Knights Templar or Francis Bacon. I'm not sure about this, but I suppose these series, which are certainly currently among the most popular, might not have been really sort of in vogue yet as of the 1960s. The article talks about Daniel MacInnis's original discovery of the Money Pit. And there are a couple of interesting things to take note of here. And now, listen, in not too distant future, we're going to do an entire show about this origin story, about this discovery of the Money Pit. So, you know, hang on for that. We'll get more into it. But let's just talk about how it's used here in this Reader's Digest article. First, he spells the name, Daniel MacInnis's name, MCINNES, which is almost certainly not the correct spelling according to more modern research, but that spelling does show up in a few places. Also, he says that MacInnis went to, and I quote, "an uninhabited Oak Island to hunt for game," unquote. No one seems to know exactly why MacInnis was there or went there. There's a lot of speculation on this, some different stories. And it's also not entirely clear if the island was in fact uninhabited at 1795. So it makes me wonder if MacDonald was just sort of communicating the local lore here rather than digging too deep into the, you know, the island before the discovery of the Money Pit. It makes for a great article. He also mentions that no one would go near Oak Island because it was believed to be, and I quote, "haunted by the ghosts of two fishermen who vanished there in 1720 while investigating strange lights." Stay tuned for more on that as well. He mentions this in regards to the difficulties the original searchers might have had in finding people to help them with their dig. But I do like this little peek into what the local area thought of Oak Island. We could talk about the inaccuracies and speculations in McDonald's article. There are a couple, but let's be honest. Does it really matter much? The point was to create a, you know, a compelling and an interesting read. And once you read it, you can't argue that he accomplished that. I would imagine for somebody knowing nothing about Oak Island, that this is a great jumping off point. He describes the next 160 years or so, like I said, before the Restall tragedy. So this is before Dan Blankenship, certainly before the Laginas. You know, this 160 years leading up to 1965, or 170 years, of Oak Island history by pointing out the major, kind of goes through each and every major event, each discovery, the flooding, you know, this and that, all the different things. It's kind of a great little primer and introduction to the mystery. And even has a really cool little drawing showing the depths and discoveries of the money pit. That drawing you've seen a few times in one way or another on the show. They use it sort of as a basis for a lot of the description of the money pit. McDonald also does what almost everyone else who looks into the mystery does. He talks about Smith's Cove as an area of at least, if not more, interest, more compelling than even the money pit itself. Because we're going to delve even further into these subjects, especially Smith's Cove, which I consider to be the part of this mystery that has... Remember before when I said I can't poke holes into this? Smith's Cove is really the reason why I can't poke holes into it. So we're going to spend a lot of time in this show, I would imagine, talking about Smith's Cove and what goes on there, and the most recent season of the Curse of Oak Island show obviously focused a lot on the cove as well. But as far as the article goes, it's all there. The gold chain, the deadly accidents, of course, leading up to the Restall accident. Like I said, there were more before that. The parchment paper we hear so much about, box drains, all this stuff, right? It's all condensed to the point where if you really aren't paying attention to the quick mentions of dates, you would think that this was all happening now, like this was all discovered recently. So it's a very compelling little five-page read. And you can't help but understand how a young Rick Lagina can look at this and his jaw drop as he hears these little details and all the things and all the unexplainable things that have happened on Oak Island. I think a great way to conclude this quick discussion and background about this Reader's Digest article is to conclude it with a couple of quotes that are towards the end of the article itself. McDonald quotes Restall as saying, he's talking about whoever designed the money pit. And he says that man was a hell of a lot smarter than anyone who has come here since. And this is the end of his article. It says, is there really a treasure at the bottom of the money pit? According to mining experts, its elaborate safeguards could have been built only by an engineering wizard with plenty of help and plenty to hide. As petroleum engineer George Green put it in 1955 after drilling on Oak Island for a syndicate of Texas oil men, quote, someone went to a lot of trouble to bury something here, and unless he was the greatest practical joker of all time, it must have been well worth the effort, unquote. Really, no better way to end an article and to launch a bunch of young men into a life of trying to figure out the answers to these questions that David McDonald presents in Oak Island's Mysterious Money Pit article from January of 1965 that appeared in Reader's Digest. So that'll do it for this introductory episode, the very first episode of the Diggin' Oak Island podcast. I want to thank you for listening. I invite you to subscribe and to rate and review the show on iTunes. But more importantly, I invite you to keep listening, keep checking your feed and checking back when we have new episodes, because we do have a lot coming. I don't have any social media other than Facebook. If you go to facebook.com, search in Diggin' Oak Island, D-I-G-G-I-N, Oak Island, you will find us on there. You can certainly follow us there, and we will give us a like, and then we'll post when the new shows come out. You can also, if you have any questions or concerns, you can certainly email me, digginoakisland@gmail.com. Let me just mention one more time before we go, all the opinions you hear in this show or you heard in this show and that you will hear in every other episode coming are mine and mine alone. I'm in no way associated with the Curse of Oak Island show, the History Channel, the Lagina Brothers. I'm also not an author selling a book. I'm just a podcaster, and I'm really interested in the Curse of Oak Island television show and the Oak Island mystery itself. All the research and all the information that I've presented here, I've done all that myself through a various variety of sources that are all readily available. If you have any questions whatsoever about those sources, please don't hesitate to email me. So once again, thank you for listening. I hope that you join us again. My name is Dave McBride, and we'll speak again soon.